Lord, please change us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, please change me. Lord, please change me. Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Father God, I just pray for a hedge of protection against my family, Father God. Lord, you have put us through so many trials and tribulations this year. So many people in this room have been through so many things, Father God, amen. Lord, you've taught me to be still, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray against those that are going through anxiety, Father God. I pray that those that are going through worry and strife, Father God, about the situation of the world. We are all experiencing this, Jesus. Just when it feels like we're out of it and we're floating off to a better place. Here comes another one. Boom. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, where would we be without your word, Father God? Where would we be without the Holy Spirit to fall on us and guide us? Father God, I pray for everyone, Father God, here in this room. I pray for everyone, Father God, that couldn't make it tonight, Lord. I pray that you touch them, Father God. I pray that you fill them up, Father God. It's too hard out in the world. So many people trying to get you, destroy you, take from you, to survive. It's too hard in the world. You need Jesus every single day. Thank you, Father God, for this room to teach in. Thank you, Father God, for letting me make a living. Thank you, Father God, for supplying me with finances to pay for things, Lord, to help spread your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Father God. Thank you so much, Father God. Dear Father God, thank you so much, Lord. I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that every word that comes out of my mouth tonight, Father God, is not from me, Lord, but it's from you, Father God. I pray, Lord, to just push my physical being down, Father God. And I pray, Lord, that every single thing that comes out of my mouth, Father God, is completely from you, Lord. I pray that those with ears can hear the word of God, Father God, and be touched, Lord. I pray that those that are in trials and tribulations, I pray for those, Father God, that have medical issues. I pray for those, Father God, that have anxiety issues, Father God. I pray for those who can't make the rent, who can't make payments tonight, Father God. I pray for those with no place to sleep, Father God. I pray for those that hear your words through the internet on a podcast, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Banishing anxiety. Banishing anxiety. Banishing anxiety. This year I have learned not to worry. It is so hard. You're hit with something big. A medical issue. Maybe someone in your family had a heart attack. Maybe a loved one had a stroke. Maybe a child's been hurt. Maybe it's legal issues. Maybe it's things so horrible and embarrassing you don't even want to mention them here. But yet you're here seeking God. So many people are in worry and in strife over situations that are beyond their control. You are going through a trial. Some trials are divinely permitted because it was your own fault. You know you did something wrong, and now you have to go through it. Most trials are demonic in nature. There are legions and legions and legions of demons controlled by one general. And they are good. Their musicians are the best. They manage to manipulate the best. They control the music industry. They control television. They control most of the corporate world. They control almost all of the internet world. And their sole purpose is to keep you from trusting him, to keep you from seeking him. And one of the greatest tricks is anxiety. Not only are we commanded to set aside our worry, but we are instructed to make our requests known to God through prayer with a thankful heart. It is so hard to do this. And I completely understand if you are having a hard time of it. But we are commanded to cast our worries aside. I sat down this evening with my pastor and explained a bombshell that happened to me a few days ago. Someone had sent me an email and it literally made me fall off my chair. Anger swept over me as I read it, and so did fear. But after prayer, I knew to cast all worries aside and to be still. Usually all prayer requests are lightly dusted with a measure of anxiety, sorrow, concern, and fear. So many times, in so many weird places on this planet, I've hit my knees with tears in my eyes and anxiety, almost to the point where I feel like getting sick. But offering up prayer with a thankful heart is what we must do. And sometimes it's very difficult if you are under stress. But always remember with who we are speaking. The creator of the universe is bending down to listen to the cries of you, his child. He knows all. He sees all. He is all and is everywhere all at once. Be anxious for nothing. That is what God asks us to do. I know that the world is hard. It scars me every single day. Somebody said something. There's a bill that has to go unpaid. A medical issue has arisen. A family member had a stroke and is paralyzed. You find out horrible medical news about a child. All of these things, some of these things, may be happening to you right now. You may be out of a job. You may be not being able to take the rent, to pay the rent. You may be losing a spouse. You may be all alone tonight. Jesus said something so beautiful. I want to read some scripture to you guys. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, of what you will eat or drink. Don't worry about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? You've heard this scripture a million times. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap. They do not put their food in barns for later use. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than birds? Who of you in this room right now can add a single hour to your life by worrying? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God so clothes the lilies of the field, which are here today and tomorrow are dead, will he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? So don't worry. This is what they worried about back then, was shelter and food. Some of you are going through a crisis right now. I know it's difficult. But don't worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Or in today saying something like, my mom's paralyzed. I need to take care of my mom. Or I'm going through a divorce. Or where am I going to live when I get evicted from my apartment? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. Thank you, Jesus, for those words. Out of all of that, I want you to pay attention to one small verse. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. All of the dreams you go to bed with at night, all of the promises you make your children with a smile in the morning, all of the things that you hope to accomplish, all of the dreams that you have. Jesus is telling you, if you first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, all of those will be added onto you. I am telling you, brothers and sisters, this is so true. I used to worry so much about my circumstances. God would pull me out of it. I'd be evicted from my home with no food in the fridge, scared to death about what tomorrow would bring. And a young girl I was dating told me, let's come to church. Don't worry about your worries. Don't worry about this silly stuff. Put Jesus first. And I was thinking to myself, are you crazy? And that's exactly what I was thinking. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to talk about Jesus. I want to worry about my money. I want to worry about when my rent's going to come. But I went there to a revival service. I went there and I listened. And eventually I began praying to God. Jesus said again, Luke documents it in chapter 12, verses 24 through 34. Those here can read it on the screen. You at home, Luke chapter 12, 24 through 34. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap, and they have no storehouses, but God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. Consider how the lilies grow. They do not spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. Do those words sound familiar? Because they were the same words Jesus spoke. This time Luke is writing it down. A different scribe. A doctor. Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, Luke writes down that Jesus said. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, and these things that you need will be given to you as well. So don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Psalms chapter 55, verse 22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, from experience, that Jesus will never let you fall as long as you are putting him first, as long as you are seeking him, as long as you are praying to him. God's power is beyond our comprehension. He knows what we need and what we will request before we can even begin to mention them in prayer. He has demonstrated his unconditional love for us by sending his son, Jesus, to die for our sins. He is the star of a God of miracles. He calls each star by name and causes the sun and the moon to rise and set. This is why we don't want to be anxious. Jesus is mighty. There are so many stories of faith recorded in the Bible, and they're there to encourage us. I can remember so many times when I was a non-believer. Saturday night would roll around. I'd be up in the Arctic Circle, 40 below weather. We'd be on our snow machines and we'd be racing through the night. We'd pull up at a village and there would be lights on and a warm fire inside of a home. There would be drugs. Many times I took pills. Many times I did things which landed me on the floor of my bathroom, or in many instances in a hospital bed fighting for my life. And there I would scream out promises to God even before I even knew him. Oh, dear Jesus, you pull me through this, Jesus, and I promise to start going to church. Please, Father God, don't let me die. And every time he would pull me out. Every single time. I know many of you are going through trials. And I know many of you don't want to believe. But I am telling you, Jesus Christ is real. I am telling you that he is the one true God. And he will pull you out of your situation. Joshua had such faith in the Lord that after five kingdoms had been delivered into his hands, he called out to God, asking him to stop the sun and the moon. And God actually heeded. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajion. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and did not hasten to go down for a whole day. And there has never been a day like that before or after. You can read about it, Joshua verse 10, 12 through 14. Jesus told us that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, that you can move mountains. And yet we limit what God can accomplish through us when we continually mull over our fears, feed our hopelessness, and encourage anxiety, which then causes doubt. Doubt hinders God's power. Doubt hinders God's power. Faith has a lot to do with your ability to pray effectively. And if you're in a trial and things are going wrong and you're hurting and you're upset and you're full of anxiety and you're sick to your stomach and you're worried about your situation, I am telling you right now, if you are worried, you are hindering God's ability to help you with your life. You are hindering God's ability. Doubt hinders God's power. Don't doubt. Have faith. If you believe God saved Jonah by sending a big fish, why can't you believe he will send the help you have requested? With a prayer of faith, you can set aside all of your anxieties. I know it's hard to have faith. I myself am guilty of it. Even when I was being evicted from a rental home a long time ago, when I first started coming to church, at the last minute I got money enough to stay in my home, enough to buy food, enough to feed myself, and enough to live another month in my home. I couldn't believe it. I could not understand it. But I knew that it was faith. But still I didn't have faith. I knew for a day when I got the money, the thought that it came to me by God's will crossed my mind. Still, when I was in financial jams, I would pray at church and money would come into my hands. And for a moment, I would think maybe it was Jesus. But then I would go on my life and I would forget. Sometimes medical things would happen and I would again fall on my knees. I fell into drugs one time and would be, Jesus, you pull me out of this, Father God. Please don't kill me, Lord. And I promise. And I would forget the next day. When I didn't have a way to pay for the birth of my son, when I didn't have a way to take care of him, my firstborn son, I prayed and God paved a way. But still, I didn't have faith. When I was told that my second son had two holes in his brain, and the entire church prayed for us. And 4 days later, when we went in for another ultrasound to find out the severity of the damage, they had already determined it was done. We were there just to find out the severity of it. And there was nothing wrong with my son. Still, I didn't have faith. Faith is hard to have. But we are told that if we have faith as small as a mustard seed, we can move mountains. And yet we limit what God can accomplish through us when we continually mull over our fears. Don't go home and dwell on them. Feed our hopelessness. It just encourages anxiety. Comparing your faith to that of Noah, Moses, and Joshua will discourage anybody. I just told you testimony of the many times I should have had faith and I didn't. So let us encourage you to mature and grow your faith. Use these examples to spur you on, making you all the more resolved to trust God with all of your anxious prayer requests. Someone wisely said, "Let go and let God." Let the Lord take your anxious prayers filled with worry and fear, and his wonders in his perfect name. So, everyone that has worries and concerns, I just want you to place them at the foot of the cross. Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, I just pray, Father God, for those with worries and anxious and concerns, Father God. Lord, they're too big for us. I'm facing a problem right now in my life, Father God. It's just too big for me, Father God. I can't solve it. Only you can solve it. I'm going to place it at the foot of your cross, Father God, so we don't have to worry. Lord, I would love for my sons to start taking homework more seriously, Father God. I worry about it, but I'm not going to worry about it anymore, Father God. I'm going to place it at the foot of the cross. I'm going to let you worry about it, Lord. And I'm just going to keep my eyes on you, Father God. I'm going to stand on the promise, Father God, that I'm going to seek you first, Father God, and all of these things will be taken care of, Lord. And Jesus said, because of your unbelief, I say to you, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Refrain from anger and turn from your wrath and do not fret. It only leads to evil. All of you with worries and concerns, just place them at the foot of the cross and be anxious for nothing. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Who are the righteous? Who are the righteous? That's right. The righteous are those that are seeking Jesus. The righteous are those that are seeking Jesus. We are all righteous. Every single one of us are righteous. If you're seeking Jesus, you're righteous. I don't care what sins you have committed. I don't care what you've done in your life. But when you have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ and you've accepted him as your Savior, you are righteous. You are on the right path. You are righteous. And that is exactly where you want to be. When Jesus was baptized by John, he went into the mountains. For 40 days, he was tempted by Satan. All sorts of horrible things. He was promised all sorts of things. And the Holy Spirit came upon him. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time the devil came to him and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no. For the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Then the devil tempted him a second time. He took him to the holy city, Jerusalem. Took him to the very top of the temple. And he said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. But Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Then the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world. I will give it all to you, he said, if you just kneel down and worship me. But Jesus returned and said, get out of here, Satan, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Amen?
Amen.
By quoting the scripture, by standing firm on the word of God, you can deflect all of the attacks of the enemy. Just because you came to Jesus, just because you want to get saved, just because you want to reach out, just because you want to change your life, doesn't mean your life's going to be pretty. Now Satan is going to keep you from trying to reach Jesus. He's going to throw all these darts at you. He's going to cause you to trip up. But keep your eyes on him, and you will begin to feel the grace, the covering, the protection. Friends you don't need will begin to melt away. Doors of opportunity will begin to open. Stand on God's faith. If bad things continue to happen, people bad-mouthing you, you're served with divorce papers, a spouse leaves, a spouse gets sick, something happens to your kids, you can't make the rent, be still and keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't let Satan distract you. Jesus started his ministry with the same message people had heard from John the Baptist. Repent of your sins. The message is the same today as when Jesus and John the Baptist were giving it. Becoming a follower of Jesus means turning away from our self-centeredness and self-control and turning our lives over to Christ's direction and control. So let's end in prayer. But before we pray, I just want all of you to know, those of you that are here and those of you that are listening on the internet, Jesus loves you. Get down on your knees right now and just repeat after me. Dear Father God, I repent of my sins. Father God, I am so ashamed of all of my sins, Lord. Father God, I want to accept you, Lord, as my Lord and Savior. From now on, Father God, the old is dead. I will follow you, Jesus. I will keep my eyes on you, Jesus. I am a new creation now, Father God. Use me. I believe, for those of you that have said that prayer, that you have been saved, that you feel the touch of Jesus Christ, and I want you all to know that Jesus loves you very much. Jesus loves you very much. So we're going to end with a song. Just make up a song. Jesus, Jesus, Lord, we want to come.